Good morning, Clempton folk. Good morning, weary, dreary wanderers of the swamps of those regions to the south. Good morning to the mutant squirrels and the cat tigers of the Carolinas. Good morning to those out there on that great river. You're in a raft alone. You're on a river alone. You're on class one. You think everything's fun. You get to class two. You really, really gotta poo. On your way to class three, you take a big old pee. And class four, you feel really poor. Because your mommy and daddy couldn't take you camping no more. And then on class five, you are barely alive. And now you remember your Uncle Chuck who talked about, what was it? How to skin a deer? Because you can see a deer right now, but you don't know how to kill it or skin it. Welcome to class five. And you're barely alive, Clumpton hero. You're the city man facing the bleakness of history. And history's bleak, buddy. It don't care. It don't love. It don't work for you. It works for God or nobody. Because it is Tuesday, October the 15th, 2024, can you believe it? But it's early in the morning. It's almost 3 a.m. here in, you know, Sclinkton, Washington, not far from Squim or Port Angeles on the Olympic Peninsula. In the shadow of the Olympic Mountains as they hover over us, you know, stand over us, and we are awe-inspired by them. As they huddle and govern us with their dark, dreary eyes, those Olympic Mountains. Yeah. So I'm perusing the headlines right now. Why not? I'm only really able to go to Zero Hedge these days. Yes, I'll read the random article about, you know, some Swiss couple. But that's not really about respecting the New York Post. I go to Zero Hedge not because I trust it, but because it's the last stop. It really is. There is no stop after this. After this, you just really just need to accept your eyeballs and your ears and your ability to perceive, because that's your news. That's it. I'm sorry. You want to dream that Papa Blump's going to win? You want to have fantasies of a Bitcoin paradise? I don't really care. I don't give a fuck. I'm simply telling you that other than Zero Hedge, there are no more gasoline stations in the desert. Does that mean it's a ringing endorsement of Zero Hedge? No. They are quite literally the giant fuck you as you run out of gas. Last fucking motherfucking place you can stop. Traders increasingly focused on U.S. election as Trump odds soar. Yum, yum, yum. Bill Clinton unintentionally creates Trump's next campaign ad. Oh, you thought that was unintentional? Dope. Zelensky says North Korea sending troops to help Russia occupy Ukraine. Well, this particular trauma monkey mindfuck that looks like the Battle of Verdun. I don't know what the truth is, buddy, but they're chewing up a lot of weapons that militaries in a state of mutiny would use against their own governments, by the way. Oil chaos, stress in shorts, don't poop in your shorts. Legal battles target supply chain, keeping Israeli F-35s flying over Gaza. Former Trump yacht, once featured in James Bond flick, crashes in Tunisia. Okay. A diet low in starch and sugar shows promise in IBS relief. Well, that's good. That's irritable bowel syndrome, you know, also known as voting. Ukraine finally admits to Russian breakthrough in Kursk as they evacuate Sumy. God damn, this Ukraine war is looking dumber and fucking dumber every day. After summit snub, UK government absolutely ready to engage with Musk. But let me stop for a second. When I say the Ukraine war looks stupid, let me explain what I mean. I'm not going to use the R word. I kind of get that maybe I should stop using it. I've been using it a lot lately, more of a protest of free speech bullshit, and, you know, attacks on free speech. But there's got to be something wrong with your brain if you can't accept the idea that what's currently going on, and I'm going to talk about Gaza and Israel first, what's currently going on in Gaza is simply dumb. It's not just that it's evil. I'm fairly certain, and I think I've said this in a few podcasts, that we're reaching a point where the Israelis have dropped, in a little over a year, 10,000 tons of TNT per square mile of Gaza. Okay, 4,000 tons dropped on an entire city called Dresden in World War II is considered a war crime. 4 kilotons of conventional explosives dropped on Dresden during World War II is considered a war crime. So what's 10,000 tons of TNT dropped on 1 square mile? Because that's the distribution. And if you come, well, Dan, they didn't drop it all in the same. If you come back to me with they didn't drop it evenly, but they dropped it all in the same spot, I gotta tell you, that looks even dumber. I won't use the R word. I won't. But it looks so dumb that something that dumb ought not to be able to survive. That's how I feel about the Ukraine war. And I am on the record with podcasts, with my opinion, going right back to the beginning of the Ukraine war in 2022. And I quite explicitly said, if this nonsense lasts longer than 90 days, something else is afoot. And some of you who are veterans of this podcast, though many claim to be, know that I have my own bugbear, but I don't darken your door with it like most of you lab theory motherfuckers. I don't darken your door with it, but I have my bugbear. And the problem with the Ukraine war is it feeds the bugbear. It actually makes it more likely. It is ideal. If you wanted to take a portion of the world and basically make it off limits to independent journalism for several years, fuck. The Ukraine war is working, baby. And as far as my contacts in the deep north of Canada, that's its own story. And because I want to protect people from being taken out, I'm not going to talk about it. Needless to say, I got a bugbear. And some of you motherfuckers got them. This fucking Ukraine war is stupid. Let's just leave it there. Oh my God, our democracy marks their duplicity. Oh, what a headline. Oregon DEI forestry snitch busts boss for prioritizing qualified candidates over gender identity. Oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. Will politicians toxify freedom forever? They can't help but not to, dumbass. Almost 90% of voters want CBS to release deceptively edited Kamala Harris. I don't give a fuck. I guess I don't count. Spy drones swarmed the Langley Air Base. Pentagon unable to counter the threat. The drones headed south across the Chesapeake Bay toward Norfolk, Virginia, and over an area that includes the home base for Navy SEAL team. Oh my God. Spy drones are swarming Langley. I mean, it must be Christmas. Or it's just more bullshit. DOJ sues Virginia for purging voter rolls close to election. Oh my God. Hurricane response proves volunteerism is better than authoritarianism. Nobody needed a disaster to know this. Nobody. And this is how Zero Hedge stays afloat with a lot of people in the authentic freedom movement. Because they'll post articles like this. You won't see them on New York Times. You won't see them on the WAPO. You won't see them on any of the neocon military-industrial complex press. You won't see it there. But you'll see it on Zero Hedge. And so you'll say to yourself, well, Dan, at least they put an article like this on here. But if you read deeper into this, you'll end up in a place where you're going to see a guy in his underwear eating a can of chili, sitting on guns with a bunch of bags, you know, with Cabela's written on them, yelling at a TV set and complaining how the Europeans don't do nothing. That's the end state of most of this zero hedge bullshit. Anywho, we don't need disasters to know that liberty is preferable. We don't need disasters to know that liberty isn't a want. And this is what even the libertarians kind of try to sell you. They sell it as a want. That's bullshit. Liberty's a need, okay? It's like the commie situation. People bitch and moan about commies suddenly showing up. Your grandparents welcome Social Security. Your great-great-grandparents welcome Teddy Roosevelt, the guy, the architect of the progressive movement. Your great-great-great-grandparents, great-great-great-great beyond that, going back to Lincoln and every other motherfucker, gave up their freedom by slices. By the way, that's called the salami method. Enver Hoxha. Oh yeah, he was a commie. You give up your freedom first, dumb shit. And then you get the commies. You leave a bunch of food out, you get the roaches and the ants. If forests start dying, I'm going to shock you, beetles show up. It's not the other way around. If you make housing unaffordable, this will really shock you. You're going to get more homeless. Oh my God. Second and third order effects are so fucking hard to understand, shithead. Freedom is not a want. Freedom is a need. Without it, we die. We don't die overnight, but it is an extinction level event for us. You know, give it a few hundred years in this direction. I don't think it's going to take that long. And given the scale of murder that government has ratcheted up to in the last couple centuries, yeah, that particular, I'm going to drink a little coffee here out of my killer clown coffee cup my brother gave me. Listen. That particular exponential function only heads in one bad direction, and that is that government has ratcheted itself up to a point where it can do catastrophic damage. That doesn't make it smart, by the way. I know some people, do you mean they're really smart? No. No, they're good at grifting, and this is where I have to give them credit. It is the grifter's profession, the government. It is. It always has been. If you like mind-fucking people, the government's always been your place. Period. And the sad truth is the oldest profession is grifter. And if you've never seen the painting of Native Americans scaring buffaloes into the ravine, you shouldn't meditate on it. You know. Yeah, hurricane response proves volunteerism is better than authoritarianism. No, common sense proves that voluntary free response is immensely better. And here's one more gripe. You know, a lot of fucking libertarian motherfuckers who enjoy zero hedge will talk up the calculation problem, except when it comes to stuff like this. The truth is, government's not good at planning anything. It's not good at predicting anything. It's not good at distributing, you know, needs for people, materials, resources. It's not. If you think that it's bad at running an economy, guess what? That means it's bad at running everything dummy. Next headline. Mapping global real estate bubble risks. Miami tops Tokyo and Zurich as the world's bubbliest real estate market. Oh boy, Miami. Cut the truth out of our heads. The censors are losing patience. Bullshit. I have been censored since the first time I've been on the internet in any functional sense in terms of publishing. Ever since my first blog, 2011, I have been censored. I accept it. I don't really know why. I don't think I'm special. If you think I'm claiming, well, Dan's finally claiming he's insane and he thinks he's a targeted individual. No. I think a lot of Americans are targeted, but they're not targeted for any other reason but the fact that they live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. That's where you're targeted, because these guys are dumbasses. Because this is like East Germany, the lives of others, and if you know, you know. That's what this is like. So it's what it is. But it's not new. A lot of people want you to, oh, it came with Obama. No, folks. Your grandparents and your great-grandparents and their parents started giving up their freedom a long time ago. One could argue that the Constitutional Convention itself was an insult against the Revolution. Nobody needs a sovereign above them, and the Articles of Confederation made that very clear, plus the Declaration of Independence, which is the foundational document. The Declaration of Independence. I don't recognize the Constitution, but I do recognize the Declaration of Independence. And so I'll tell you, It started a long time ago, and a lot of you shitheads will go see that musical Hamilton, and you'll masturbate, and you'll imagine that he was a good guy. He wasn't. He was part of the problem. He led us down the road. Okay, he wanted us to have an army, and one of the first things that army started doing was stealing land from people. Boy, this is an old story. Stealing land from the poors, but in this case, the poors were the indigenous people. The very first thing we did with a fancy fucking army was figure out a way to rip off land. And we can be all Lewis and Clark about it, but just get real. What happened after Lewis and Clark was a fucking horror story. And it was pretty much one-sided. Despite all the fiction that got published in every newspaper on the East Coast in the 1830s, 1840s, 1850s, during the Civil War and after, the truth is it was a one-sided horror story. The version the East Coast person got was riches and gold, but savages and rape out west. The truth is a lot of people were just wiped out. And some people were moved around more than once. Did you know that? Did you know that we stole land from Native Americans, we would move them someplace, but if we found gold or oil or uranium much later, we would move them again. Did you know that? And it gets worse from there. So fuck off with your, all this is new under Obama. Go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Just because you don't know how to read, it's not my fucking problem. It's not new. It's not new. This is not Germany 1933. The best analogy to that period of time, the only analogy that applies, is this is Berlin, April 1945, shithead. And Hitler's telling people to wire Germany to explode, dumbass. And that's your mega movement right there. If you want to understand the mega movement, especially in the context of monetary policy, if Trump wins, and I think that the narrative is he's going to win, so let's just call it, right? But if Trump wins because the third McPoyle has failed, I think there's been another third or fourth McPoyle trying to do something to that guy, pop a blump if he wins. If he wins, we're going to find out what it means to wire Germany to explode, but in monetary terms. This is not Germany in the 20s, folks. We don't get several years of hyperinflation. I think we get a few weeks, and then there's just nothing to buy. And when there's nothing to buy, the price of it, well, I don't know how to put this, is infinite. Okay, if there is no food, no amount of money is going to purchase it. That's what you have to look forward to. Hitler is wiring Germany to explode. And if you think I think, well, he thinks Trump is Hitler. No, it's not that fucking simple, dummy. I think Trump's a fucking actor. I don't think he's a person in the sense that you think he is. You are confused. Okay, all I know is it looks like the narrative wants him to win. And he's the kind of guy, he said to himself, he loves debt. Well, guess what? You're going to find out how much he loves it. But if that's the blow off top, it means the game's over, buddy. It means, in a figurative sense, not that Trump is Hitler, but that the deep state is wiring Germany in that figurative sense to explode. Yeah, look around, buddy. Doesn't it look like that? Like some dude, some guy, some New Yorker will say, pull it. When you look around the country right now, do you see them building anything designed to last? Anyways, those are your Zero Hedge headlines, Scrumbo. And that's as much love as you get from the glove. Yeah. So there was some sort of an op-ed in some shitty newspaper that I barely glanced at. And the arguments were concerning how awesome the lockdowns were. And I found out recently that people I know, and I'm not going to say more than this, they're not family, they're not friends. Let's keep it that way. These are not family, these are not friends, but people I know took the PPP loans in a very dishonest way. So they got free money from the COVID. They got free cash money. The money that's printed, the $1 trillion every 100 days, these motherfuckers got a piece of that action, you know. And I knew people, and they're not family, not friends, they're not people you know. So if you're listening, oh, he's talking about, if you think I'm talking about you, guilty misfix-a-pops, maybe I am. But shut the fuck up and listen. I knew people a few years ago who thought the lockdowns were awesome. They got paid to stay home. They got their DoorDash. They got to play video games, and motherfucker, they got to watch online porn for free. Pornhub was free that year. You think that was an accident? Yeah, it wasn't an accident. A lot of people. And I would even contend, as I've said before, 2020 was probably a laboratory for some of the most extensive abuse against children in world history. And I stake a claim to that. I can't prove it. It's intuition-based. It's logic-based. But if you wanted to create a circumstance that would have made it easy to victimize billions of children worldwide, maybe that's a little exaggeration. How about we say tens of millions? If you wanted to create a laboratory for that, 2020 was perfect. You can say it was accidental, but in reality, it wasn't. It was on purpose. There was a decision that was made, and they went ahead with it. There are people who will tell me how much they love the lockdowns, and here's what I'm going to say. That might be true. I mean, I get it. A lot of people, they go into a nutrient-rich environment, and they say to themselves, I got food, I got water, I got shelter, I got entertainment. You know, I get to walk around my block. I got to wear a coffee filter. But I can walk around my block, you know, and breathe in the fiberglass and the lowest bidder from inner China in my mask. Yeah. Oh, those are high quality masks you're wearing. Those coffee filters, fuck you. A lot of people telling me that they like the lockdowns. And all I got to say is good luck. Good fucking luck. If you're a Bitcoin burner, if you're a techno-anarchist, if you're living in your own little fantasy world of your toilet bowl brain, I don't give a fuck, but good fucking luck. Because what's coming is not what you expect, and there is no vaccine. You didn't need a vaccine for a pandemic that never happened. Well, guess what? The real stuff that's coming, there's no vaccine, there's no antibiotic, there's no mask. It's going to be real, and it's going to be dangerous. And people that think the lockdowns were cool are going to suffer immensely. That's the fucking truth. That's a little bit of a rant, but I don't know. I don't know. Let's go to... Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Sequel, and before I continue, sequel means, you know, what is it? Standard query language, or yeah, I think it's standard query language, sequel, something like that. Sequel is a language that was developed by E.F. Codd originally. Structured query language, that's it. Structured query language. E.F. Codd was a computer scientist and computer engineer in the 1960s, and he developed a general model for properly designing databases, which we would call relational theory. And it's based upon relational mathematics. And as most good engineering ideas in the field of computer science, it has a very solid basis in mathematics. So SQL's cool, but I'm going to read this quote from Dr. Freckles now that you understand a little of the history of SQL. SQL proved what we all learned to know with time. SQL proved what we all learned to know with time, Chronos, that the only standard is there is no standard. The only standard is that the standards are gone. The standard bearer is chased by the tiger hawk. The standard bearer falls by the wayside. The standard bearer is bitten by cobras. The only standard is there is no standard. And the standard bearer is gone. Here's another quote from Dr. Freckles. I'm going to think on what you say and remember it if it's significant. I won't just react to what you say. By the way, that's called listening. That's called listening. I'll stop here for a second. I try to be a really good listener, as weird as that sounds, because Dan, you have a podcast where you monologue. I know I do. But in everyday life, when I'm not monologuing on my frickin' podcast, I try to listen. Why? For a lot of good reasons. These days, you should listen to the people around you, but not for the reason you think. The happy, shiny, you know, the view, the daytime Oprah TV reason they'll give you is because there's lots of good people out there with good ideas, and if we listen to each other, we can grow and love. Nyab, nyab. Yeah, that's not it. That's not it. In fact, it might even be the opposite. The reason why you need to cultivate the skill of listening is because it is going to be the only means by which you can do a background check against strangers in the future. Do you understand what I just said? There are lots of things you should be good at. You should be able to discern about people. You should. But the skill, one of the skills that's going to enable you to do that is listening. Okay? If someone's a grifter in your life right now, if they're a grifter, keep track of the shit they say. Keep track of it. That's how you're going to fucking understand if they're grifting you. You need to be a good listener, not because people are trustworthy, not because people have good ideas to sell. You need to be a good listener if you want to fucking survive. Because some of the people in your life love you. Some of the people in your life are your friends, but I'm about to shock you. Some of the people in your life, whether it's at work or even at home, some of the people in your life do not like you. Some of the people in your life try to take advantage of you. You should be a good listener to suss that out, really. That's my recommendation. Anyways, next topic. Dan, I can't believe it. You say we should listen because people are fucktards. Yeah, kinda. It sounds counterintuitive, but if you want to survive, you better know how to listen. Here's a quote from Dr. Freckles. Nyog, nyog. A pessimistic idealist can seem like an optimist to confused people. A pessimistic idealist can seem like some kind of optimist to people who cannot see. A pessimist who's an idealist can seem like an optimist to confused counter-conceptualists. I am pessimistic, if you want to call me that, but it's actually driven in part by my idealism. Okay, and I know that sounds weird, but it's not. I'm an idealist. If you want to be an optimist in this world, you can't be an idealist because you have to learn to ignore shit. And you'll tell people, oh, block out the negativity. You don't need any. When people tell you to block out the negativity, by the way, this is another good reason to fucking listen. A lot of people who tell you to block out the negativity, what they're really saying is ignore that person over there because that person might be telling you the truth. And I'm a fucking grifter. And if you let that person into your life, you might discover the truth. That's what they're saying. If you needed help with the fucking translation. I am a pessimist, in a way. But it's based on the fact that this world, I believe, could be a better place. Not a perfect place. That's one of the reasons why people say, well, you're a pessimist. No. It could be way better. Because we seek after perfection, we're turning the whole planet into a fucking landfill. But if we were willing to embrace one simple idea that every human being was born free, if we could embrace this idea and live this way, this world could be a lot better. It could be a lot cleaner. It could be healthier. And it could keep going in a better direction. And maybe we won't instantly build towers to the sky because we won't have a magical credit card based upon blowing other people up. Maybe we won't have that any longer. But did that really help you or your cancer? Did it? Did it really? That magical fucking Federal Reserve credit card, that Imperial MasterCard Visa Amex, did it help you in the pain and the suffering and the sickness? Did all of that toxic, evil bile of stealing shit from poor people actually help you in the end? Yeah, it made Walmart cheap. But that's not lasting, is it? And it's going to get worse. If you think, well, Walmart's expensive now. Yeah. Yeah. You haven't seen, listen, Buttercup. Nonlinear, discontinuous, exponential, cascading. These are the words that describe what's coming. If you think you're going to get a warning light, oh, but Dan will slowly descend. No, no. You'll slowly descend until you don't, and then you'll just fall. That's what's coming. Sorry, Buttercup. Anyways, I sometimes seem like an optimist to people because I'll talk about what I believe and they'll say, well, he's you know, talking positive. Well, I am positive about liberty. But then people will talk about other heinous shit and I'll say, well, why can't you be optimistic about this? Well, what you're talking about is a war. Why would I be optimistic about a war? Why would I be optimistic about an HOA land scheme that's going to just create more homeless people? Why do you want me to be optimistic about something that is really just going to harm people? And it's basically stealing. You see, this is why, oh, but that's negativity. No, it's not. You got the free money, the PPP. You ride the wave of the monetary presses. You use any of the devil bucks, so do I. You know, we all do. We're the same fucking vampire, okay? We're the same vampire. You may not be a high-level vampire, but if you don't think you're drinking the blood of Syria and Iraq and Afghanistan and other places, Central America, if you don't think that you're not part of it, you're lying to yourself. You're confused. And I would be confused, too, if I claimed not to be. But don't ask me to be optimistic about that fucking bullshit. Okay, I can be honest about it. I can be truthful. I can say I am an anarchist living on the Death Star. I am an anarchist living in a neo-Stalinist hellhole. And I'm surrounded by people, I won't use the R word, who are deeply confused about what happens next. Am I an optimist or a pessimist? Next topic. Here's an article from Cairo 7 posted by somebody on Twitter. That's how I came across it. This article was posted on October the 11th to the Cairo 7 website. It was written by Gwen Baumgartner. Headline, gets real, black men run at Seward Park. If you come to Seattle Seward Park, you're bound to see dozens of runners. But 2 years ago, Atlee Treasure saw something that nearly stopped him in his tracks. I was out for a run, and I ran by and I said, that's a large group of black men. That's a huge group of black men. But I had to finish my route, Treasure said. But I thought to myself, yeah, you should go back for some reason. You should go back and just see what's going on there. So he did turn around, that Atlee Treasure. What he found has been improving his life ever since. I loved it, says Treasure. The group was Black Men Run. It's a weekly running group where, despite the name, the run sometimes takes a, you know, back seat. It doesn't matter if you walk, doesn't matter if you jog, doesn't matter if you run. It's about coming and joining and being a part of the community, says Treasure. That sense of community brought Willis Walker to the group as well. He was one of the first Seattle members. When we run, we do 3 or 4 miles, but it's mostly us talking, listening to music, talking about what concerts we're going to, silly stuff. It's whatever guys talk about. It's fun, says Walker. I think I just hit a paywall with this article, so I'm just going to stop right here. The link is there if you want to read more about Black Men Run. Say, well, Dan, why did you just read that? And why did it sound racist? Well, it's not racist. I kind of think the article is. I think it's a good example of something that we come to think of as okay, but it's actually the true racism. All kinds of people jog. All kinds of people run. People walk and they run, sometimes they crawl after the bars at night. You know, they crawl. Crawl to the porcelain god. Lots of people run. The fact that black men are running in Seward Park, I mean, I know where that is. I used to run there when I was in college. There were black people running back then. Maybe it wasn't most of Seattle, but I don't know how to put this. Most of Seattle has never really been historically black. Yes, there's been a black community in Seattle a long time, but it doesn't mean it's most of Seattle. And so when people say things like, well, finally we're seeing black people run, I don't know where to put that. I think it's kind of dumb. The nicest interpretation of an article like this, it's that fluffy, dumb shit on a day when all they can feed you is toxic sky pain and dropping bombs on the pores and who's got set fire to this week. And on a day when all they can talk about is murder and rampage and protein cubes filled with microplastics. Well, you got to have a happy, happy story. And the happiest story, in fact, this is a good example of what I'm talking about. The happiest fucking story they could come up with on that particular day was this story that tells you exactly where we're at in the game, brothers and sisters. Yeah, precisely, you know. If you listen to this podcast and you enjoy it, I have no earthly idea why. I don't. I don't understand. I mean, I do and I don't. I've had people tell me, I really like your podcast. Why aren't you more popular? It doesn't help, really. But if you listen to it and you've gotten this far, you either hate it so much that you need to listen to it to send me an angry email, or you actually like it. In either case, if you listen to the podcast and you hate it or like it, but you're this far along, this is me, you know, doing the part where I beg for money. I don't have a paywall, and you don't have to pay. That's the great news. But before you ever donate to some old crazy motherfucker like me, listen to the following. Take care of your food, water, shelter first, you know? Take care of those things you absolutely need to survive. If you got rent to pay, if you got food to buy for you or your family, point is, take care of those things first before you donate to me. If there are people in your life, physical human beings, I don't mean virtual people, that's its own special grift, but I mean physical human beings in your life that need help, help them first, okay? Help them first. If there are people in your life that need help, help them first, okay? And so, before you donate to me, you know, help them. If you're putting aside food for your family, yourself, 6 months worth, if you think 6 months of food is going to help you weather the storm, you are a fucking optimist. But if you're a fucking optimist and you have, you know, 6 months of food for your family, someplace safe, make sure you got food for your pets, your dog and your cat. If you don't have 6 months of food for your dog and your cat, do that first before you donate to me. And last but not least, these are really strange times. One could even say fucked up. I won't use the R word, but one could even apply the R word. These are very strange, stupid, fucked up times. But you can still go do stuff. There's still food at the grocery store. Germany has not been wired to explode yet, huh? Maybe we have our own Albert Speer to muck up the works. You can still do stuff. You can still go see a movie. You can still go to a restaurant. Things are still working. They might not work like this forever. It does not mean the end of the world, by the way. It just means that stuff you've gotten used to might disappear for a while, maybe for a long time. But currently they're here. And while they're here, the food at the grocery stores, the restaurants, the movies, before you donate to me, donate to yourself and your family. Donate to yourself. Do something that makes you happy. And if you say, well, that's a waste, it's not really. If you consider the simple fact that at this point in time, you're living a lifestyle that could be the highest point of your life. It could be, because if what's coming is what I expect, best case scenario, unless you're living at the bottom, which thankfully I am, and even I have a ways to fall, unless you're living right at the bottom, it's going to be a lot to go through. So instead of saying to yourself 10 years from now, I wish I'd done this, I wish I'd have done that, if you have a little extra money after taking care of the things you need to take care of, before you donate to me, do something for yourself that will make you happy. And once again, it's not the end of the world, even though it might feel like it. But, you know, everybody dies. But if you've done everything you need to and everything you want to, if you're some sort of Bitcoin billionaire with trillions of piles of gold and hippos, I don't care. If you want to donate, donate as much or as little as you want to. You're not required to donate ever. You're not required to donate more than once. And as a reminder, although I feel like I shouldn't have to remind you, this is not a tax deduction. So if you ever like say, well, Dan, what's your 501c? No. I don't have any state license to do what I'm doing. So if that's why you're listening, because you're thinking I have a state license and you need to go get your cosmetology license. But there's a PayPal link in the notes if you want to donate. Anywho, it is Tuesday. Tuesday, October the 15th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. Half a October is over. And soon comes All Hallows Eve, when the beasts and the ghosts, the goblins and the grease, the scrubbies and the zotes, the Morgon freaks, the blow bonds, they're all coming for us soon. Have a great rest of your Tuesday, friends.